On this week's episode, the Grills tackle catching up. Cue the music.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to Geek Grills, episode 30. Holy cow. This is a podcast about geeky things, usually. It's hosted by women. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-host, The Jen.
Hello.
Unfortunately, Chris, also known as Lunescence, can't make it today for some reason, but we're just going to have a chat. We do have a 2016 Memorial episode coming up. It was going to be our year beginning roundup, but we want all three of us to be present for that. So today, you can just catch up with Jen and I. What have you been up to?
And that'll be coming soon.
Yes, that episode will be as soon as we can all three be, you know, healthy and functioning at the same time to record.
Yeah, everybody is getting sick right now. I was sick last week. You're sick now. I'm guessing that's what's going on with Chris. Poor thing. But yeah, so I have been playing WoW like normal. I've also been playing Hearthstone. I've been really enjoying the Tavern Brawl. I did think it was fun, the little 20th Diablo anniversary, which makes me feel old when I admit that Diablo is now 20 years old because I played Diablo. I've been reading Harley Quinn Rebirth. There was a Comixology sale around the 1st, and so I picked up the books from 2016 and have been enjoying it. I have a bunch more to read through. I've been watching Once Upon a Time still. I got a little frustrated with Once Upon a Time, so I had to take a little bit of a break from it.
Why?
So I've been... Okay. I love the show. I love the premise of folding all these stories together. I enjoy that type of storytelling. I don't want to... I guess, I don't know, it's been a couple of years since that season, so I guess it's not really that big of a spoiler. But I have this thing where I get super frustrated when everybody is related to everybody.
Ah, okay.
So I was at the point where it turns out... We find out who Balefire... Who.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, I need a minute. Like, that was the point where I was like, okay, I don't know how I feel about this. This is super frustrating. And again, I get it. It's fairy tale. Like, I get it. And I honestly considered it as we were moving through the story. I was like, oh my God, how crazy would it be if? And sure enough, it turned out to be that way. But the thing is I just get weirded out when, like, everybody is related to everybody and everybody has this magical destiny, but at the same time, that's a fairy tale trope, so, like, I need to just suck it up and dive back in. But, I got really frustrated at, like, the third Mummy movie for the same reason, where it turns out that, like, the wife was, like, Nefertiti's, like, nemesis or no, a bodyguard. I don't remember. It's been so long since I saw the movie. But it was, like, everybody had a thing. And it wasn't just, she was the nerdy librarian chick. Like, I don't know. That weirded me out.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, it's like they have to use these things to force some kind of continuity. And maybe they didn't need to. I mean, with the Mummy, I don't think they needed to.
Sure.
They could let it stand on its own.
But it is interesting. And I really, I really like the Rumpelstiltskin character.
Yeah.
And I am...
They did so much with something that was such a small story.
I felt so bad. Like, I was pretty much crying when she gets pushed over the line and Belle, and she forgets who she is.
Oh, yeah.
And so again, that was probably part of the other thing that, like, led to me being like, okay, I need a minute from this. Cause I was like, I don't know. It's like this deep seated fear of mine. Like, Alzheimer's is one of my crazy, like, irrational fears. Like, that whole idea, and it's irrational because if you have Alzheimer's and you forget things, you're not going to know that you forget. You know what I mean? Like, I have this fear of forgetting But then if I forget, I'm not going to know that I'd forgotten. But it is totally a fear to me. I think that's part of the reason why, like, I hoard sentimental objects, because I want to remember. I want to have touch points for things. And so just that whole thing just hit me in a place that I'm like, oh my God, now they can't, like, he loves her. She loves him, but she doesn't know it because she doesn't remember now. And like, oh my God. Oh, anyway. So that whole thing just hit me. Oh, it hit me hard.
But I had friends who were watching and they were rooting. They said they're rooting for the villains, you know, and I was like,
I am too.
I can get that with Rumple, but with Snow Queen, like, oh no.
Oh no, I don't root for, I hate that bitch.
I was never rooting. I have friends who were like rooting for her. I'm like, I don't understand. No, she's just bitch.
Well, it got to a point where when you start to understand her mother and like the role that her mother played and all that shit, but it's like, this little girl didn't know any better. Why do you hate her so much? Like, granted, right? Yes, she fucked up, but she fucked up because your mom's a manipulative bitch. Not because she, like, wanted to hurt you. Just right? Your mom is a crazy bitch.
Get over it. She's just a brat. Like,
yeah, exactly. I agree. I have no rooting for her.
Now the poor people who never saw this show, maybe yeah. It'll make you curious, but Once Upon a Time is available streaming, and it's...
Oh, yeah. It's all
a modern-day story made up of all the fairy tales ever.
Yeah, and it's nice. It's fun. There's, like, some nostalgia stuff there, like, or where, like, they'll start a story, and I'm like, oh, is this gonna... This story, and that kind of interests me. So,
and because it's Disney owned stuff, they get to use some.
And they get to use all the legit characters. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the portrayal of Maleficent is excellent.
It is.
It is weird to see Maleficent as a blonde because you never see her as a blonde. But it was really wonderful. But I still really like the portrayal. But that was weird because I was like, why is she a blonde? Like, like, that was the one thing that caught me off guard a little bit. But, so yeah, that's what I've been up to. I did my stream-a-thon for the New Year's Eve stream. We did the stream for with the Diamond Club group. And, shout out to the guys at Recall Misery. Oh, no, it's fine. I did a stream from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. my time. I should not be awake at that time. It's very weird for me to, like, interact with humans, but I played some heroes and did stuff, and then I took a nap, and then I was in chat most of the day, and then I popped back in later. One of the guys, poor guy, Captain Fubar, was supposed to do his second stream later, and he got home from work, and he had no power. So Poodle Puncher did a movie party. So we streamed us watching Yoga Hosers.
Oh, God.
And then we streamed us watching Cowboys versus Dinosaurs.
I've never seen that one.
Yoga Hosers.
Okay, so Yoga Hosers, my friend Vinod kept bothering me and my husband. You have to watch it, Rob. You have to let me know if this is accurate, like, to, you know, how Canadians really are. And obviously he was trolling us.
Yeah, so we had, so during the stream, the stream was for charity, and just good news, our goal was $1,000. We raised $2,073 by final count for Riley's Children's Hospital in Indiana. So awesome. That was really freaking awesome. But the people in the chat during the Yoga Hosers were keeping they had two counts going. They had the Canadian count, and then they had the millennial count. And it was just... like moments as things were happening in the movie. That movie was a little rough, I think, for that type of a format, because we're just like, some of the dialogue was really good, and I actually kind of want to go back and watch it now, but like when I'm not streaming it to a bunch of people that are watching my reaction. Cowboys versus Dinosaurs, though, was perfect for this format. It is the cheesiest, like, horror suspense bullshit movie where the dinosaurs are trying to eat people and people are trying to survive, and there's shitty production value, and it's awesome. People get eaten. It's exciting. It was fun. We had a good time. So I did that for like 4 hours, and then I stayed up until the end of the stream, and yeah, and then I screwed up my entire sleeping schedule. No, But, you know, I had a lot of fun. It was really fun to, like, interact with some Diamond Club people, get to know some people that, by the way, for those of you that want to check out, the people that were on the stream, diamondclub.tv, they always have people on there streaming. Dills actually is one of the streamers that's, queued into the diamondclub.tv. Diamondclub.tv is hosted and put on by, is a website that's hosted and taken care of by some listeners of Night Attack. And so it's a cool place to go check stuff out. So yeah, but so that was fun. I really enjoyed it and I got to meet some people and it kind of got my streaming bug going again. I had a really good time and I'm thinking like maybe I should be streaming again because I haven't been lately, but I might. Oh, and I chopped my hair off. I chopped off 16 inches of my hair.
Wow.
So it's now shorter than shoulder length. And it's awesome. Awesome. And everybody's like, why'd you cut your hair? It's like been a whole interesting thing now as people are like reacting to me chopping my hair off. Like they're worried about me. Like that whole thing, like if a woman cuts her hair, like just because she's like emotionally conflicted or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a theory. Okay. That like unhappy women like go and chop their hair off. But I don't really understand like where that comes from. But yeah, no, I'm like, no, it's awesome. It's super awesome and it's super happy and it's like part of my fresh start 2017. Woo!
I love exactly. I mean, I have a habit of doing that every couple of years. Like I grow it really long, like down to my elbows, and then I'll just cut it super short. And I just, it just feels, it's this fresh restart. And my hair is really happy too. So I actually walk out and it's literally lightheaded, like, woo, okay, have to rebalance.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. I feel like the fresh start part has been super nice. And I didn't even realize how long it was had really gotten because it was down to like, the middle of my back. Yeah. She's the stylist I went to see was recommended by a friend. She was super cool and was awesome about that. And she... I put a little color underneath too, so I've got my teal back in, some teal underneath, so it's not just a plain Jane brown hair. But yeah, so that's what I have been up to. Yeah, I haven't posted any, I have not posted a single picture of it. I know, I've been busy. It's been crazy. Like, New Year's, like, oh my god, being awake for like most of 24 hours was not a good plan, FYI. Like, it was not good.
I saw the big DC sale and I was going to.
Yeah, tell you, that's like, how I bought a bunch.
Read Sandman.
It's on my list. The problem is like my list is just getting so damn long. Like, and I literally bought like 30 books on the sale. Like it was nuts. And I couldn't believe like how little I paid for it. I was so excited. Now, granted, I know some people out there are like, ooh, it's not the same. You get to buy the books in the physical form. You know what? It's not me. I like to be able to pull up my Comixology app. I can double tap it. I can go frame to frame as I'm reading the comic. And for me, I like that. That's what I enjoy. That's the way I roll. So, you know what? I know it's not the way you're supposed to traditionally enjoy comics, but I like it. So, just yeah, wanted to
like
say
a
that.
Fine idea to me.
Just going to say my piece on that.
I mean, I've got boxes and boxes and boxes of comics. It's cumbersome at this point. I'm collecting them on paper now because my iPad's so damn slow and laggy. You know, it's not really good to read on, but eventually I might switch to digital for my current collections. I'm only collecting like two or three things now anyway. So what else? What have I been up to? We had a great party for Yule, for our anniversary. We had, I don't know, maybe a good 20 people show up. Musicians came and played music in my living room. And then they left and other people came and Hannibal showed up and did some tricks and really freaked out my son, which was hilarious. And we played, that game, Snake Oil, in the wee hours in the morning, just freaking hilarious. My husband was like, I can't play that with Hannibal. I just can't. And people are like, what are you talking about? Like, you'll see, he could sell like, you know, an iceberg to a snowman. But so that was nice. What else? Finally, we watched Luke Cage. Holy crap, really good. I'm sad it took so long to get to it.
I have to finish it. I'm halfway through. I have to go back and finish it.
I'm so impressed with the look and the feel and just like culturally and, you know, people who are like, seriously, there's not enough white people in it, can go to hell. They deserve a good slap.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't all have to be whitewashed bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, the music and the, oh, man. And the rap's real nicely, but I won't spoil it because you haven't seen the rest of it. So we did finally start Mr. Robot last night, too. Oh, boy. Yeah, that hooked us immediately.
Yeah, it does, right?
Which is really late for Rob. But we're only, like, we only watched 2 episodes? I don't know. Yeah. So we're going to, that's probably going to be the binging while we're snowed in. Because we are snowed in.
It's really good. It's really good. I really enjoy it. I have, like, 2 episodes left of that. But again, that's one that's, like, emotionally challenging for me to, like, finish. I have to go back and now I'm ready to go back and watch the last 2 episodes for the season.
I love that Christian Slater is in something that's succeeding as well, because I've always loved him.
I like True Romance is one of my favorite movies, and his role in that was incredible.
Heathers.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Loved him since Heathers, for sure. But it seems like he keeps getting these non-starters, you know, in the last couple of years. And so I'm glad this one's stuck. I got an Echo Dot for Christmas. I'm not getting a lot of use out of it, really. I'll be like, hey, what's the weather? I timed something. Hands-free timer is nifty. Like, maybe I should just put it in the kitchen. It'll be nice when I dye my hair so I'm not, you know, getting hair dye on my phone setting a timer. But yeah, I'm not using it a whole lot yet. My husband, I think he wants smart home stuff. I think he wants a smart home. And I think this was actually just his sneaky way of trying to suck me into that. Like, cause he did, the hint I got for my present was like, it could be a slippery slope. Yeah, no, but
you want it to be a slippery slope.
Yeah, I think he's like,
funny. You're like, he is.
She'll want to get the gadgets to hook up the house. You know, like, no.
You know what? I do like the, like, I use my phone. I do the, I almost said it. I do the Google thing where mm-hmm. I can talk to Google and tell Google to do stuff for me. And I actually do like that because I could be driving in my car and be like, oh, do this thing. Oh, set a reminder for this or set a calendar event for that. Yeah. I do like that. But I agree. I considered the dot, but I was like, I just don't know. I just don't see myself having a real, like, need for it necessarily.
And I can use, you know, I use Siri in the car to dial for me and get directions and, you know, do all those kind of things hands-free. But sure. I guess I'm not as concerned with hands-free sitting in my living room.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of, you know, it's a tiny speaker, so if I want to play music or whatever...
The one thing is, it's got a pretty good sound. I heard it's a pretty good sound, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right. But I also don't tend to listen to, it uses Spotify and stuff.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the one thing. I listen to podcasts. So if I can do my podcast,
great. I think you can do podcasts on it. But I'm not sure. It uses, what's that sketchy service that everybody was complaining wasn't updating? Stitcher.
Stitcher.
It uses Stitcher, which I don't use.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. Stitcher's no
like if it worked with my iTunes, I might get a lot more use out of that part. But I don't know. I'm looking through the apps, and I might find more uses. And I think I do want the thermostat thing. Although I don't know how it integrates with that. It's just a separate smart home gadget. But I am interested. I guess there's some kind of low cost thermostat gadget that, you know, auto changes everything. I think mine's programmable anyway. But if I put the gadget in, I can do it when I'm not home.
Sure.
I mean, something that saves me money, enough money to pay for it, I'd be interested in.
Yeah, that's the idea, right? If it actually makes something better.
Yeah.
But sometimes I mean, I feel like we are...
security system. I don't have all kinds of shit. I mean, if I got a smart fridge, that'd be a whole
nother thing. Those are cool. See, that's the thing is, like, there's all these fancy-ass things, but then I'm like, we don't really need any of them. And there's that part of me that's like... oh, why are we so obsessed with all these stupid fucking gadgets that we don't fucking need? Like, all these unnecessary possessions that we convince ourselves are so necessary. Not to soapbox. Sorry. But it is frustrating, because, like, okay, so I had to do a practice test. I have to do the teaching basic essential skills exam. to like prove that I can read and write and do math. And so the writing practice test that I took, the prompt was, Oscar Wilde once said, in time, like, our only necessities will be that which are unnecessary, or I don't know, something like that. And I don't know if that's what the quote was talking about, but I basically just wrote a giant, like, vomit fest about how we are so convinced that we need all these fancy-ass gadgets. And I guess it's the whole Fight Club, like, the more you own, the more your possessions own you kind of thing. And, like, that whole mindset. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Tangent, no, but a thing.
Like, I'm not a keeping up with the Joneses type for
See, I'm not either. But I'm worried that it's a slippery slope, that if I continue to, like, want to care about those kind of things, that I would feel like that's what it would do for me. But like you said, if it's not something that actually helps you, then don't bother. But if it is something that helps you, great. It's just hard.
Like, my husband was right about smartphones, for instance. I was not an early adopter. I had my Razor. I was like, man, it takes pictures. That's magic. What the hell else I need anything else for? And then I was in 08, I was elected to be a delegate and to the DNC. And he had gotten me, like, the Christmas before the, I don't know, or it was my birthday. That's right, because my birthday would have been before the convention, I think. But he got me a iPod Touch, and I was like, what the hell? I didn't want to be ungrateful and rude, but it's kind of like, I don't really give a shit about carrying around my music library. It's just not how I listen to music. It's, you know, and that's what I thought of it as. But then ending up in the situation where, oh, but I can use the internet, and I had a newspaper asking me to blog from the convention, and I could take pictures and I could post them and I could blog and I could do email, and I didn't own a laptop. So it, like, holy shit, having an iPod Touch completely replaced the need for a laptop, under the cost of such a thing, far more mobile, could hit a charging station and go all day. And so when my phone finally broke, it was a no-brainer that, like, yeah, actually I do want to move to a smartphone, because it's, you know, a bunch of devices in one that I actually use and makes my life, you know, easier, and my business and, you know, stuff. It's a functional tool, not just I've got the biggest, baddest.
Right. Neither of us are the, I gotta have the thing to be cool, like, bug. Like, that's not our angle. But yeah, like, I agree. I thought cell phones were the stupidest thing. They were destroying interactions. They were a giant pile of shit. Like, I had all these negative feelings, but then I was like, oh my God, but I can now do all these things on it. And
yeah, I didn't even get a cell phone until 2004 or 5. Like, we had moved here.
Yeah, I think it was the same for me.
I had an infant and a grade schooler, and my car broke down, and, you know, there aren't payphones around anymore, even at that time. And I had to, like, go into a local business, carry in my kid, ask and use the phone, have my husband drive, you know, from work to come get me, and because tow truck couldn't fit us all. And it was like, wow, okay, that could have been out on the thruway. I need to actually get a cell phone.
Yeah, I think when I finally got a cell phone, I think it was like 2004-ish for me. And it was because I got this little shitty Nokia that I loved. But the reason was because I got a car, and my mom was like, no, if you're going to have a car, you need to have a cell phone, because if the car breaks down, you need to be able to, like, communicate with somebody that can help you. So, like, that worked out. But yeah, I definitely was like one of those people that was like, put your fucking cell phone away. Like, I am this fucking college kid, and I'm just like, couldn't stand it when my friends had their phones out and shit. And, like, we're all texting each other, and I was like, what is so damn important that you need to text each other right now? Like, like, we're all here. I was such a crotchety old lady when it came to cell phones.
We go to the bar, and my husband will sit there looking at his phone. I'm like, we're here. Like, I'm right here.
Be present in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little guilty of it. I'll open up and I got a, there's a Pokestop in reach of our local pub. So I had the Pokestop, but I try to shut it off and engage. But it is really great when we go to see live music because it's loud and you can't talk and you don't want to be yelling over the band. So we'll like text each other and talk about the music or, oh, his mids need to come up. Maybe we should go tell him if we know the guy or, you know, and talk about the music or do our people watching when it's a loud crowd. We can do that in text. And that's kind of neat because we still get to have conversation even in a bar situation.
Yeah, there's usefulness for it. I mean, I decidedly should not be as crotchety about it as I am sometimes, but oh man.
It's justified. I mean, a lot of people just, yeah, walk around staring at their phone, so.
Or rude buttholes. No. That was, I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody was saying, like, with the number of, like, smartphone things, like, why aren't there more, like, sidewalk ground advertisements? Like, why hasn't that replaced the billboard? Because, yeah, like, that's where people look now.
I think that was Night Attack.
Oh, I think it was. I think you're right.
Or DTNS. I don't know. Yeah, I was listening
to it. It was somewhere. Know. I don't know. It was some on some podcast. I don't know. One of the podcasts.
Yeah.
By the way, The Nerdist with Metallica, check out that episode if you're not. I like Metallica, but it was good. It was good. Check it out. Oh man. Okay. So
speaking of, all the useless gadgets and stuff, let's move to the Geek Grapevine.
Right. Let's do it. Let's see, we've got news. We've got a bunch of news today. Today's going to be a newsful, chatty episode, which is fine. These are allowed sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh my gosh.
You don't always need a specific topic. As a matter of fact, my friend Daniel recently, finally, started listening and binged. Like, just spent a whole day listening to every episode we've ever done.
Oh my god. I don't know if that creeps me out or is really awesome.
It's really weird, but like, okay, cool. Because he ended up going on Facebook and was like, don't walk, run. If you like any nerdy things, if you just like listen to smart people talk about stuff, go listen. Like, he gave us like a really complimentary boost, and that made me super happy.
That's awesome.
I know at least we've got one, you know, fan who would not mind us just, you know, shooting the shit and talking about whatever nerd comes to mind.
Well, that's cool. So is this one, let's see. So this is celebrity searches on Google. Is that what this is?
I don't know. I didn't put it there.
Oh, I didn't either. Oh, this might be a Chris. So we'll hold. All right, we're going to hold this one then. All right, we can hold it. I'm like, I thought you put it in there.
Nope.
I put the next one in, which is, I know I mentioned it already, but... Also, before I talk about the article, Geek Girl Authority. So I heard these guys on Current Geek, or this lady on Current Geek, and she and her husband were on, and they're like, this is really awesome geeky couple. But she runs Geek Girl Authority. So geekgirlauthority.com. It's like a news aggregate site, and it's really awesome. As a geeky lady, this is the shit. And I actually reached out to her and hopefully we can get her on because I want to have her on because she's really awesome. But this is Diablo's 20th anniversary celebration. So we can all feel super old. I started with Diablo, original Diablo. That was one of the first video games I played. I mean, other than like Mario on Nintendo, it was the first video game I played like on a computer, like on a PC that was like a true video game, not like, oh, this is this fun game that my dad got me for the computer. Like, it was the first video game that I played. So
the son I was pregnant with when it came out is now drinking age, okay?
Yeah, see, exactly. Exactly. So Diablo, because of that, and it was announced at BlizzCon that we could be getting the Diablo 3 would be getting the Darkening of Tristram, which is to place the original game inside the sequel. So basically you can play back through, you can relive the grainy old school graphics. You can take down the four original bosses. So when they announced that, we're all like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what? Like, I don't know if I want to go back to this shitty, like, Like, is that really what we want?
Everybody thinks they want it.
Yeah, and then they get there and they're like, wait, no, I don't want this. But, so they are gonna, that is there. So that is, so basically what it is that in the Darkening of Tristram tribute event, you can venture through a reimagined version of the original cathedral in Diablo 3, and there's some familiar items there. So Heroes of the Storm did the Battle for High Heavens, and they did a Diablo-themed portrait. So that was, and there was like a brawl map. Hearthstone did the Tavern Brawl this week with the Hooded Stranger, and you could get the card back, and the card back's really pretty. I liked it, so I definitely went and grabbed that. Overwatch, there are some sprays that you can get from Diablo 3. And so that's cool. And then StarCraft 2, there was like a Diablo themed worker portrait. And then in World of Warcraft, there's some dungeon stuff that you can do and take a portal and kill the Cow King and some cool shit. So, and there's some items and toys and stuff there as part of the event. So yeah. Yeah. So I didn't either. And then one of our listeners was like, oh, did you know you can go jump in there and do that? And I was like, I saw people getting the achievement and I didn't understand how they were getting it. So I'm going to go and attack that today. But yeah. So happy 20th anniversary, Diablo. We're all old now. But yeah, it was really, I think I would say it was the first video game, that got me, cause it was that and then StarCraft and Red Alert. And then, you know, it just spiraled out from there. But Diablo was truly the first video game that really got me into understanding that video games could be this really awesome immersive experience. Not just this, like I played Mario as a kid and I'd be like, oh cool, yeah, I'm running around, I win the Mario game. But that was about winning. Diablo was the first time I remember experiencing a video game where it was immersive, where I was experiencing that game. Like that's the first memory I have of a game like that. And of course, you know, that just is what the things I love about WoW and other things. So anyway, I wanted to make sure to shout out to that and also a link to the Geek Girl Authority article, because Geek Girl Authority is a cool site and is now on my favorites list. And I check their stuff out every day because they have good content. So you should also go check them out.
I will check that out. And all our listeners should check that out.
Yeah.
So, my husband had found this story, and originally I was looking at, there's a video interview with this woman, and this is just so freaking great. And this is actually an opportunity. She is, trying to raise money, because grant money isn't covering everything that needs to be done to actually fully advance this research. So her name is Dr. Hadia Nicole Green. She is one of fewer than 100 black female physicists in the country. And she did recently get a $1.1 million grant to further develop a technology she's pioneered. So what this is she uses, they've been using lasers for a long time to, you know, do cancer surgeries and combat cancer and kill cells. But her tech is, and her story is really great. If you find the video and listen to it, how she got inspired when she lost someone to cancer and started moving forward to this. But that's how she went into how and why she went into physics. But she uses nanoparticles, and the lasers activate the nanoparticles to treat cancer. Yeah. So it's very targeted, very specific, not having to be followed up necessarily with chemo and all of that damage. And so, yeah, she just has been full on inspired by people she knew around her dying and her relatives dying of cancer to get her to physics degree. And it's been her full focus. There's part of the story where getting her, she's getting her degree and she had her final project. And normally what they do is they latch onto whatever the professor's research project is and, you know, participate in that to do their final. And instead, like, the professor came on to hers and jumped in on her research. So yeah, she's been doing actual successful treatments, on animals and experiments and had to redo stuff to get the actual documentation properly as she like left academia and getting into actual practice. So anyway, it's really amazing.
Awesome.
You can go to physics2, like numeric2cancer.org. And there is a place there where you can donate to organizations, university, I think, still that she is at a hospital that she's affiliated with, and you can designate for her project. But basically, I mean, the barrier is money. The barrier is money just to get all the research done and get the FDA approvals and start using this. But I mean, this is amazingly effective, targeted cancer solution. And it just needs money. And it's,
I mean, that's the hard part with cancer is it's like, there's two different ways to approach it. Or we look at it, at making cancer never happen. And then there's the technologies and the science looking into how to make cancer go away.
Yeah, this is really amazing. And I mean,
that's really cool.
It needs a millionaire out there. A multi-millionaire, yeah, really, to just throw all the money at it, or a whole bunch of us throwing a few bucks at it.
Part of me is just shocked. I can't believe that there's less than 100. Like, that's insane too. Like, from a, like, oh, yeah, less than 100 black female physicists in our country. That is shocking to me.
Well, I mean, we know there's a big gap with I know, women in general.
And that's why, and women in STEM, you know, too. And that's why there's so much stuff in the education system for STEM. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I was a science nerd as a kid. So part of me is just like, more women go want to be, you know what I mean? Like, don't feel limited. Don't feel that you can't participate in that world. Ugh. Anyway, that's a really awesome, the work that she's doing. And I hope she gets and continues to get the funding that she needs to keep doing good work.
Pretty amazing story. I will dig up. I would like us to have the link to the Physics2 Cancer along with the New York Times article that I posted. But I'll look for that video source too, because just watching the interview is a really inspiring thing.
I like good inspiring stories, and science is freaking cool, man. All right, so we're going to go from curing cancer to Charmed is coming back.
Yay.
I liked Charmed. I really did.
Remember. What is it? That's the one with
the witches. What's her pickle? Yeah, that's her name. Alyssa Milano
No, I was thinking of old 80s people. Wasn't there a movie?
Oh, you're thinking of a different thing. Yeah, so Charmed was the three sister witches. And they lived in San Francisco, and there was, like, one sister, and then she was a bitch as an actress, so they got rid of her, and then they brought in a different sister for story reasons. But anyway, I'm excited, because I like Charmed, and the CW has ordered a script for Charmed, and the version is to be set in 1976. So I'm actually kind of intrigued by this. So there's not a lot of other info about that yet, but I am excited to see more info become available about that, and I think that could be cool potentially.
Okay.
So,
I've never watched that at all.
Yeah, I used to binge on it, or I used to really enjoy it, and they would do reruns on WB, and so I could like turn it on, and it would just be on, like especially if you had like a sick day.
When was this on? Like when?
So Charmed was on in I want to say it was okay. So I'm gonna look it up because I feel like it was late 90s.
Shannon Doherty, that's who I was thinking of.
Oh yeah, she was on it originally, and then she's a giant bitch, and they had to like get a different sister.
Okay, so 1998. Well, that explains.
Yeah, see, it was late 90s.
I didn't watch any television, so
yeah. See, it was like right in my I was good for that, and being I like San Francisco, so having it. That was of interest
watching
to me.
The Tick. Stuff about that.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what happens with that. Is that my cat just like crying right now? Anyway, sorry. I feel like a cat crying. I have no idea why. Anyway, moving on. So
on to the gadgets. More gadgets.
Yeah. So CES just happened, and there was some really. I found one good aggregate of some gadgets of interest. So just the top 10 that Wired picked as their top 10 most interesting gadgets from CES 2017. I would agree that some of these are interesting, some of these not as much, but, But I thought it was one of the better lists that I found. So first in this list is Toyota's Concept I, which is the idea of utilitarian autonomous transport. So it's, what's interesting about it is that it has, you know, the scissor doors. It, is very dramatic, but again, realistic looking, and it's
looks like a Tron car.
It does kind of look like a Tron car. Yeah, so it's, they're going to be testing on Japan's road soon, which is what Toyota said, but, it's just the fact that it's going to be very functional over just like, oh, it's flashy, interests me. So we'll see where that develops. So there was a bunch of like toys. So there was like the Lego introduced Boost, which is a kit that lets, kids take their Lego bricks and then make them like come to life. So you can program the Lego to walk, to roll, flash, make noise via an app. And then you can, and it uses drag and drop code. So the good thing is that the kids are going to potentially learn quite a bit from this without even really realizing that while they're programming their little robot Legos that they're actually like learning at the same time. So that's kind of cool. I like that. I think this is pretty cool. Yeah. And Lego always being awesome. So then there was the Amazon Echo, which has always been a thing. It's been, just, you know, the black or white thing. So the Lenovo Smart Assistant is basically the same thing, but in a different looking package. It does have better audio. So that's one thing. And Lenovo, Lenovo is definitely going for the old nostalgia speaker thing with the old like 70s colors.
Right. Like when I was a little kid, that was like the kitchen wallpaper had butterflies that color orange, and I think
counters
were that avocado color, and no.
So CES used to really be all about phones, but not really anymore. But there was, you know, one phone that was a standout, which is the Honor 6X, and it's a smartphone. It's camera ready, but it handles like lighting situations really well. Has good specs. And a 2-day battery. And it only costs $250. So it's interesting that's what I found interesting is a smartphone kind of coming in with, hey, look, we do all the shit, but it's really targeting those millennials of saying like, look, you can also just, it's only $250. It's not as much as all the other smartphones. So that was of interest. Then there's the Hub robot, which I think we actually may have, I feel like we talked about a predecessor to the Hub robot a couple months back, but
yeah, it's LG's story.
Yeah, so this is LG's animated
one,
right?
Yeah,
right. So this is the LG's animated voice assistant, and it's cute. It has blinking eyes, and it like is like a little buddy, and it just wants to be your friend. And it's really adorable. So that's a thing. And then speakers, apparently.
The little ones.
Yes. And they play music.
Okay.
And so then speakers are like a thing, that are coming back in style, I think. And again, they're all looking like the old nostalgia speakers from the past. So like here we have the cylindrical, Beoplay M5, which is a wireless speaker. But it has the wool covering, and honestly, I like it, but I know not really your thing, I don't think, but...
You know, it's better. It's going to get...
It's better than the other one.
I don't understand using that material.
Well, it's a sound thing, I think, but yeah, I understand. But yeah, it's a good portable speaker, has no battery, does plug in. It's not a portable speaker because it does plug in, so because it doesn't have a battery, but excuse me, is what I meant. But it does do some cool stuff, so... that was one of the standouts. Let's see. We've got the... where did my thing go? Oh, yes. This is nuts. Okay. So, this is a freaking flash drive. And yeah, you're like, okay, a flash drive? Really? Like, why are we talking about a flash drive? It's a flash drive that holds 2 terabytes.
That's, wow.
That is freaking incredible. Like, holy shit. We've gotten to a point.
This picture is really funny. It's poorly framed. Like, I know that must be a little tiny stand. So it
right.
It's
I had the exact same feeling you did. Yeah.
But the way the picture is framed, it looks like it's suitcase size. So, like,
it does. I had the exact same feeling. It's so funny that you mentioned that. I was like, this is the shittiest photography for this item. But no, you're absolutely right. But still, 2 terabytes in a flash drive. Like, that is nuts. Oh, gosh. And so this article only picked, in this list, they only picked, you know, the top TV. Because, of course, there was a lot of TVs that were out there. But the one that they thought was the standout was the LG's. This one was the, not LG, Sony, with their very first OLED TV. It's the Bravia A1E, and it uses a panel to deliver stereo sound. And it has, the way it handles the audio is really incredible. Basically, it doesn't have the same issues that TVs have had where you have to have separate speakers because the audio, it sucks. So this is interesting because this is more designed to be that standalone. You can just use the sound through the TV and that's it. So
I think, here's another example, by the way. If people go to this article, they'll see this I'm talking about. Wire needs to get their shit together with their pictures because
this is a
if you look at this picture, you can see other photographers taking a picture of this thing from the side. One of them actually has his hand on it. So obviously he's putting a reference point.
Yes.
This thing must have a profile that's like super thin, which is part of showing off the tech. And Wired is just completely blowing that off and showing just a picture of it from the front.
Yeah, I know. I agree. These pictures are not good.
Like Michael Bay style, like that's going to show.
But I do like the list. I think that they chose a good list. Also, they all look like they're the same photographer. So sorry to the photographer who's listed on each of these photos who clearly isn't making Ember happy with her photography. No, I agree with you. I had the exact same feeling, but I liked the list.
Right?
Right. No, and I liked the list, and that's why I chose it, but I totally 100% agree with you because I was so frustrated by the pictures that with every single one of the gadgets that I wanted to look more into, I specifically went to a different site to get better pictures. So you are 100% correct.
Well, and with the flash drive, honestly, it might have been on purpose. I seriously had the thought that it maybe they were being clever and funny because it held a huge 2 terabytes that they made it look gigantic on purpose. Because I would have done that. It was funny.
So number 9 on our list is the Chromebook Plus, which is cool. It's a Chromebook, but it also supports Android apps as well as Chrome operating system. So it's got a stylus. It's got a great display. It folds around on. It's got the 360-degree hinge. So you can switch for between the typing and the tablet mode. And honestly, you know, if you're just that person that like, it's great for classrooms, great for, you know, students, great for people that do a lot of word processing on the go. It's really cool. If I was doing as much writing as I used to do, I would absolutely love something like this. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool little setup. And the fact that it does the Android apps too, like that's a selling point for me because then I'm not just locked into the Chrome operating system.
Do we know how much that weighs?
I don't know, but I'm sure you could. I'm sure there's more stats, but that one I went and looked in a little bit more, but I don't remember offhand. So the last one is the Mohu. I don't know if it's Mohu Airwave. So it does help with some of the cord cutting. So there's no, it can do basically help with the cord cutting. It can get channels onto your Apple TV, your Roku, and more. It can do the live, but it's all wireless antenna. So it can pull all of your things kind of into one place. So that's the idea of it. And it seems, this one's kind of like meh, but it doesn't really, I think, bring any super amazing innovation to the table, but All the other stuff, I was actually kind of intrigued. I'm really stoked on the Lego thing. That really, like that's freaking cool.
That looks pretty super fun.
And a smartphone that does all smartphone things for $250. Please, can we get there more? Like, I'm tired of spending $600 for a freaking phone. Like, it's insane. But yeah. All right. So that's my... my stuff from CES, and I know you had one that you liked in particular that you wanted to...
Yeah, I grabbed an article from Tech News World. It was mentioning, and I had heard people talking about this before, there's this floating speakers, which is like...
Cool.
Really neat and weird. LG's making them.
Space age.
And it's actually, like, levitating. It gives 360 sound. The base of it is the subwoofer, and it's also a charging base. So it like uses electromagnets, and it levitates, and it plays out your music. So that's kind of neat.
Fun.
It's IPX7 compliant, so it'll stand up to rain. I don't know why. I don't know that I'd risk taking it outside. I don't care. But you can connect two Bluetooth devices to it simultaneously, which I think is really fantastic. I mean, you switch, you know, sources more easily without having to reset everything would be great. So, yeah, I don't know. It's nifty. I'm curious about the price point. I mean, I don't know that I would spend a whole lot just for something that looks cool. And then there's another speaker LG put out that is, it hangs around your neck. It's like,
yeah, I like that. That's interesting to me.
Looks like a Bluetooth headset. I don't know why this article thinks it's really weird, because to me it just looks like one of those Bluetooth headsets.
Sure.
And it's got four speakers, surround sound. So I don't know.
I don't know. That's kind of cool. I actually kind of like that.
But the cutest, funnest thing I saw was the coffee maker robot using the
voice-activated
Amazon thing.
Yeah, I loved it. Oh, we will not name so that we don't set off people's stuff.
So, of course, it was college students, right? And they took those little tiny, you know, 2 or 4 cup coffee makers or whatever, put googly eyes on it, and use the little Amazon thing, and it will, they put arms on it. So the coffee machine has arms, and you can put the filter in and put the coffee in, and I can't get it to start the coffee maker, but I'm sure someone will figure it out. And there's an adorable video of their little googly-eyed robot using the Amazon voice-activated device.
That's super cute. That's adorable. Oh, man.
I'm going to get my son to make me stuff like that.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, that's fun.
Connor, get
fun
on
stuff.
Let that's me really cool. Tell my voice-activated device to make the coffee before I get out of bed.
Right?
The whole purchase will then be justified.
No, totally. Gosh, so...
So, done good. Talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, we did talk a lot of things.
What's going on? Sure.
Yeah, no, Chris. I'm glad.
I hope we can get another episode done soon.
I hope she's okay. I know it snowed. Hopefully she's okay. Hopefully she didn't get hit with death plague, because I know both of us got nailed. You got definitely nailed harder than I did, though.
Holy
mine,
crap.
I was, so I did a neti pot, I got some sleep, and then I only had to miss one day of work. But
yeah,
I know you were like, death.
Week, I went last Friday, I woke up and just couldn't wake up. I just kept going back to bed because it didn't hurt when I was sleeping. And my husband was like, okay, it's New Year's weekend, you have to go, or you'll be able to get nothing for days. I'm like, I'm just going back to sleep. He actually took off the rest of the day from work and took me to the urgent care. And I got there and I had the flu. And then she looked in my ears and she's like, oh. And she looked at my nose. She's like, oh, gee. So I had an ear infection and a sinus infection that I didn't even notice because the flu was so bad.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, they put me on all kinds of Z-Pak and Tamiflu and... And then a week later, yesterday, I was still just hacking, wheezing, can't breathe. I had to go back and get a steroid shot, and they put me on steroids. And they said the Z-Pak stays in your system for 10 days, so they didn't want to give me any more antibiotics yet. But, yeah, I'm still... Although, last night, finally, I slept. Like, I got some Tessalon pearls.
Good.
And those are freaking magic. Took some Big Q... Actually slept without waking up every hour or so for a coughing fit, and between that and steroids, I'm a new person.
Yay! Start getting better.
Yay! Now I gotta nurse my son through it.
Right?
He doesn't have it as bad, though. I also saw Rogue One twice, by the way, now, so.
I haven't even seen it once.
What?
I need to go, I know, we were going to talk about what's coming up for us. Oh, so here's what I'm anticipating. Yeah. I'm anticipating actually going to physically see Rogue One. I'm going to try to go today or tomorrow. I have a movie ticket. I don't have to pay for it. I just have to go to a movie and see it. So I'm going to definitely do that. I'm looking forward to just getting settled into the new year. I'm also going to read The Wicked and the Divine. I finally got the next volume of that. So that's a comic that I enjoy. So I'm going to go back and read that. Tear through more of my Harley Quinn. And yeah, so that's what's what.
Man, if I were there, I'd be like dragging you to Rogue One by now.
I know. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. The holidays are nuts.
Yeah, when Connor was in town for a couple days over Christmas, we went out to the pub for a pint, and then I was like, let's go to the movie. He and I went. I got to see it a second time. So I'm looking forward to cooking. Yay. I made cookies yesterday, man. Steroid shot. And I was like, go, do things. I made cookies.
Yeah, I saw cookie pictures.
And then I was like, I have to go to sleep now. I kind of overdid it. I mean, that happens when you can suddenly breathe after a week. But I got that brand new shiny stove. And then we had a gas leak and had to finagle Christmas dinner with an electric roaster. And, like, I haven't gotten to do all the cool things in my shiny new stove, and it's got a dehydrator function. So I did make, before Christmas, a batch of the World of Warcraft recipe jerky, and it was a big hit. It actually all got eaten before Connor got here to try any.
Oh, no.
And I felt bad. He was like leaving here to go camping. I was like, shit, I could have sent some with you. But my new range has a dehydrator function, so I don't even have to just like fake it with a 200 degree oven. So I'm going to get that in marinating today.
Fancy.
And so I plan to do a lot of cooking now that I can get up and walk around without losing a lung.
Awesome.
The snowbound situation will be good for that. And for reading my backlog of comics. So we'll be probably by the next time we chat, we'll be on the same Harley Quinn issue.
Oh, sweet.
I'm probably one behind. I probably need to go pick one up. But it's hard to go pick them up when, like, I've got some sitting I haven't read. I feel like a jerk.
I love my Comixology subscription because I just subscribe to it and it just buys the book and it gets delivered to my books.
Yeah. But my comic
that works for me.
I like giving them money, too.
No, absolutely. It's totally just a different way to ingest the comics. But for me, that is just perfect.
That's Although just I certainly I like gave him some good money for Christmas because I got the Harley Quinn leg lamp.
Oh, yes, I know. That thing was so cool.
My husband got me there's a Harley Quinn like winter hat. And bless his heart, I love him. It's adorable. It's got the little, you know, balls on the top and it's got little braided ponytail-y things, but it also has like built-in mask. A, I wear glasses, so I can't wear it unless I put my contacts in. And also, other than going to the comic book store to pick up my comics, I don't think I can go anywhere in it because I'll get arrested. Like, it's seriously like going in wearing a costume, like with a full mask over my eyes. Don't see that going well. Like, I've been accosted at the corner store because my glass is tinted, because they're transitions. Right. I got screamed at by a store owner. You can't come in here with sunglasses!
Oh, shit.
Like I was going to rob them. So, yeah. I should just wear that hat in that store. That'd be a great news story, wouldn't it? Where if I get arrested for wearing my Harley Quinn hat.
Oh, my gosh. So, I have to say, like, I wanted to mention the other thing I'm looking forward to doing more of because you mentioned your cooking and that reminded me. So for Christmas, my dad got me a crock pot and then I do like to eat paleo. I'm trying to get back onto my paleo kick where I do paleo most of the week because it just makes me feel better. And don't people in their fucking, oh, it's trendy. Like, well, the caveman never, it's not about eating what the caveman ate. It's about avoiding things that are hormone disruptors for me, and my particular medical situation happens to do very well on a paleo diet. It just happens to be that way. Anyway,
I understand.
Soapbox down.
On low carb.
And but yeah, people always just... Yeah, and then people just get all, like, butthurt about it. Because they're like, it's not what caveman ate. I think it's just a bad name. But anyway, he got me, with the crock pot, he got me a book that is 101 Paleo Slow Cooker Recipes. So far, I have made chicken curry, and it came out very good, and it was delicious. I did some stuffed bell peppers, and they came out very well. And I have a couple other dishes that I'm going to be doing next in my slow cooker. So I'm pretty excited about that. So I'm going to try out one of the breakfast dishes, which is just a sausage and egg and spinach and, you know, it's just an overnight sausage pie. That one will be pretty simple. But then that way I'll pretty much have my breakfast done for the week. Because that's what I did. Like I made my meals for the beginning of the week and then I had them for the rest of the week. But awesome. Yeah, so I look forward to doing that too. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, you should share some of those recipes with me.
Yeah, they're yummy. The chicken curry came out really good. I was actually really surprised how easy it was just to dump everything in there and then let the slow cooker do its magic. And for me in my crazy working hours, it's really ideal. So what kind of yeah.
curry? Like Indian curry or Thai curry or
yeah, you know? So it's just literally like the seasoning is literally curry. So it's more of like an Indian curry than a Thai curry.
Because
it's like yellow curry powder and cayenne pepper are the main and ginger are the main seasoners. Of course, coconut milk is in there, but that kind of curry. I actually have a recipe for Thai pepper curry that I want to do, which will be interesting. There's a few. I have a few. But the peppers came out good too. I did them with ground turkey and they were delicious. So that was good too.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Patrons.
Speaking of, right before we do patrons, I have an extra Bright Paw World of Warcraft.
Oh, yay.
So we should come up with the thing. Maybe people could submit, episode ideas or jump on being a patron.
We could do a thing. Let's do a thing.
We'll figure out a thing. Why don't you, we'll post the thing on Twitter and Facebook and such when we figure out what to do with the thing.
Yes, I like that. I think we should definitely do that. Awesome. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, we will make a plan. But remember, you can always support us. We are supported by our wonderful patrons. We love and appreciate all of you. And you can become a patron at patreon.com/grills. And we do give away game codes to listeners as they get set up on Patreon. And for the list of game codes available, you can check geekgirls.com. And if you want to support us in a way that doesn't cost us any money, or cost you any money, rather, you can go to iTunes and submit a review. We love those. They help us. They help us show up on the iTunes ranking. So definitely go check that out and submit a review there. We would really appreciate it.
Yes, do that. So where can we find you on the interwebs, Jen?
So I can be found pretty much these days. It's all centered around The Jen Says on Twitter or my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheJenPlays. But my Twitter seems to be where I keep up to date if I do any streaming or any other projects or any other things. Twitter is a great place to follow me.
And I hope you do start to do some more streaming again soon. I'd like to join you in that. I know that I might be doing some YouTube stuff for part-time gamers in a couple of months. So I should probably get used to doing that sort of thing again. You can find our one of our regular co-hosts, Lunescence, at Chris Van Pelt on Twitter. I can be found at 9 of 12 on Twitter, and you can hear me on Part-Time Gamers. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
If you enjoyed this show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.